pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So, how many of you recognize that saying? Anybody? Can we talk? Can we talk? Can we talk? Who used to say that all the time? Joan Rivers used to say that all the time. And, you know, she used to say that when she would start to go deeper and deeper in her comedy, but in bringing out a truth statement, right? She would say, like, okay, Jeannie, can we talk, right? And then she would go down, more down, deeper and deeper and deeper into the realism of what might have been happening that day. Whether or not you agreed with that, she would go deeper into that. Can we talk? You know, she didn't come up with that. It was just something that she would say. And when they had interviewed her, she said somebody else pointed out that when she would say, can we talk, people would repeat that back to her in her audience. And so that was pointed out to her, and they said, that should become your slogan, can we talk? So I'm going to borrow it today. I don't want to say steal. I'm saying borrow it, because when I'm done, I'm going to give it back to her. Can we talk? So the audience, those present, say, can we talk? And so when we go into the, you'll know when it's time for the can we talk, I want to hear you say, can we talk? Now, in our gospel reading this morning, there's a lot to parse there. There's a lot that Jesus doesn't say. But there are things that he tells us are going to happen. So what happens when Jesus doesn't say why something happens, but tells us that something will happen? What do we tend to do? We tend to fill in the blanks on why that happened, right? So there was one pastor who had said, 9/11 happened because the United States society has become secularized, I can't even say that word, and has forgotten about God. So this was God's punishment on the United States. That was said from the pulpit. Filling in the blanks. Hurricane Katrina. There was another pastor that said the disaster that struck New Orleans happened because God had to clear out that whole land and get rid of those people who were drunkards and carousing, and they were being punished for their behavior. From the pulpit, that was spoken. The Pulse nightclub shooting. I can tell you that there is a pastor that said that is punishment against the LGBTQ community. Really? Where do we find that one in the Bible? I don't think so. So can we talk? We make claims that are not there when we don't understand, when there are no answers. We try to fill in the blank. Now, Jesus doesn't say when these things will happen. He says these things will happen. So what do? We try to figure out the when. Now, don't we? We will use the Bible as code. Well, this is this code for this, and this is a code for this, and this is a code for this. And you put all these codes together, and my gosh, can't you see what's going to happen? It's the end of the world. Really? That's why the Bible was written, so that we could understand when the end of the world was going to happen? We say that this happens because that happened, and then this had to happen, and we pick and choose things on when things will happen. We want to know when the end of the world is. How many people predicted the end of the world, right? As recently as how many years ago? I think it was December 14th, right? 20, whatever. I mean, there are tons and tons of predictions. Look around. We're still here. In fact, I will say, and it's not in this scripture, but Jesus says in the other scripture, I don't know, you don't know, the angels don't know. I mean, can you imagine? Jesus himself has no idea, knows he's coming back, but has no idea when that's going to happen. So Can we talk?
Can we talk?
We fill in the blanks and start making things seem like they're real when we need to identify answers that have not been given, just like before. So, I'm going to say, can we talk? Can we talk and get caught up in what Jesus does say? Because that's what's so important. Jesus says, yes, these things will happen. Your life will be hard because of me. Oh, yeah, don't we love to hear that one? And it is your chance to testify, to tell everyone about me. And furthermore, I don't want you to worry about that time. Oh, okay. A lot easier said than done now, isn't it? But you know, our Bible study group has been studying the book of Acts. And the same author that wrote the book of Acts is the author that wrote Luke, who is Luke the physician. And what we're seeing as we're going through this is the exact things that Jesus told them was going to happen, that they would be imprisoned because of Jesus' name. And they were given the words from the Holy Spirit to speak the truth. And yeah, it's hard. Isn't it? And yeah, of course, we worry. We're human beings, but we place our trust in one who says, I am with you, protecting every hair that's on your head. I will give you the words. I will give you the wisdom that will render your accusers speechless. Speechless. Why speechless? You will speak the truth because of me. You will tell who I am. I am the God of love. I came to this broken world to resolve it, to bring us all back to be with Christ. Even your accusers will be stunned because you're not speaking violence. You're not speaking hate. You're not saying, you just wait, you know. God's going to get you. No, you're speaking pure love, pure truth. And that is what astonishes those that listen. You are telling your accusers, even you will be set free, because you don't realize that you are in these fetters, these chains of hate that are binding you up. Even you will be set free as I have been set free. I am with you to the end. So can we talk?
Can we talk?
Yeah. Can we talk about the election? Yeah, no one wants to go there now, do they? For us as Christians, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Before the election, we were children of God, united together in Christ. After the election, we are children of God, united together in Christ. Before the election, we were called to give voice to those who have no voice. After the election, we are still called to give voice to those who have no voice. Before the election, we were called to be peacemakers. After the election, we are called to be peacemakers. Can I talk? Can we talk? Before the election, we were called to see the image of God in the other standing before us. After the election, we are still called to see the image of God in the person standing before us. Before the election, we were called to love our neighbors as ourselves. After the election, we are still called to love our neighbors as ourselves. Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Before the election, we were called to care for the most vulnerable in our society, the widows, the orphans, the marginalized, those who are spit upon, those who are not seen as equals. After the election, we are called to care for and stand up for the marginalized, the widows, the orphans, and those people who are being spit upon. Before the election, we were called to pray for our leaders, those who are hurting and our enemies after the election. We are called to pray for our leaders, for those who are hurting and for our enemies. Now, I want you to fill in the blank. Before the election, and I want you to do it silently to yourselves, I was called to, after the election, I am still called to. You see, for us as Christians, nothing has changed. We are called to do the same thing we were called to do before the madness of 16 months of campaigning, what's called a game, because there's only one winner. But you see, as Christians, we are all winners. Maybe our behavior before had not been what it should have been to begin with. Every single one of us is guilty of that. Every single one of us. We are sinners. Maybe after the election, the days immediately following, our behavior has not been what it should have been. And I do believe that we are all guilty of that, every single one of us. We are sinners. It's time for us to pray for our president-elect, whether he was or was not the candidate that we voted for. We need to pray that this child of God sees with the eyes of Jesus, that this child of God hears with the ears of Jesus. And we must pray that guidance comes from the Holy Spirit. Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we speak with words of love, of healing, and of reconciliation? The answer to that, can we talk, which now is a question, is yes. Yes. Yes, we can. When we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, the Holy Spirit is only capable of speaking words of truth, of wisdom, of love, of healing, of unity. Not sameness, very different, of unity. So can we talk?
Can we talk?
Yes. So let's go out there and start talking and being the children of Christ. And let the Holy Spirit just encompass every part of us so that we can speak words of love, hope, forgiveness, and newness. Amen.